Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calvary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, are you willing to dig deeper with me into the subject of our sinful depravity by nature? Believe it or not, how important for you and me to search out this matter. And truthfully, it is for blessed gospel reasons too. In our radio message 2 weeks ago, we learned about the one main source of discovering about our sin and misery, namely, the holy and inflexible law of God, as brought home to our mind and heart by the Spirit of God. Before the unchanging and perfect divine standard of God's holy Ten Commandments, and Jesus' summary of that law, being all-out love for God always, and genuine love to our neighbor always too. Oh, there is none righteous, no, not one, as Paul teaches emphatically also in Romans chapter 3. Well now, this time, digging deeper still, let us look more at the reality of our sinful misery by nature, and what really is the cause of it, and how bad is it actually and factually. Think here of investigators searching through the rubble after a house fire, or the police checking over all the wrecks, even to the black skid tire marks, with a major and fatal highway accident. The damage and consequences from our sins and sinfulness is horrendous. And so let us get at the bottom of this serious, solemn matter and not skip over any of the sordid details and sad and bad consequences of what has happened and what we have become and are left to ourselves and what is our only hope now. Here consider our two main scripture texts to help guide and keep us on track in our digging deeper regarding our sinful depravity by nature. Listen to the Lord ask, as he does in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 4, "What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes." And then this wisdom word from Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29 by Holy Spirit inspired King Solomon, "Lo, this only have I found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." The meaning of that text is, as another paraphrased translation puts it, Solomon saying, actually, quote, "I discovered that God created people to be upright, but they have each turned to follow their own downward path." I want to think with you about five crucial points on the basis of God's Word and in the light of the faithful summary gospel teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lesson 3, all in connection with digging deeper about your and my sins and sinfulness of ourselves. For one, God isn't to blame at all, dear friends. How important to underline this reality. The Bible teaches so clearly, when God created us in the beginning, with Adam and Eve, our first parents, they were made perfect and beautiful, righteous and just in all their ways. They were created sinless and as people fully able never to sin, and by nature inclined only always to love and serve God in holy obedience and joy. Yet, instead, they wickedly, consciously and inexcusably rebelled against their very nature, as they were created by God in His image and likeness. Adam and Eve, when tempted to sin, listened to the devil instead of to God. So we read also in Isaiah 53 verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." What more could God have done when He created this world and our first parents, Adam and Eve, and called them to perfect love and devotion to Him and flawless obedience to all God's laws before the Lord and one another? Likewise, what more could God have done for His people that they might bear rich fruit to the Lord and live for His glory above all? Oh, nothing more, dear friends, nothing better or improved at all, not a single adjustment in any way, here or there, could have been done, even by God. No, let no one of us dare to blame God in any way, for that is a false and even blasphemous conclusion, and it is going against all evidence of personal and world history too. Lo, this only have I found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions, yes, each turn to follow their own downward path. To say otherwise and maintain instead that somehow God is to be blamed for this is always simply and terribly wrong. To assert God may in any measure be at fault, if not with some imperfection in His creative handiwork when He created Adam and Eve, or somehow with His own eternal decrees and foreknowledge about everything being somehow not quite right, according to our sinful thinking, is just not permissible. Why? Because don't you see then too how that so shamefully discredits the perfect and holy God on the one hand, and at the same time on the other hand, it arrogantly seeks to get us off the hook for all the sin and misery in our lives and in this cursed fallen world. As fallen sinners, isn't it just so devilishly characteristic of you and me by nature to blame others for our sins and sinfulness? But when we become true Christians, by God's grace and Spirit, that shows also in you and me then now, listening to the Bible and humbly submitting to its emphatic, clear gospel teaching. Yes, including this humbling teaching that God is not at fault in any way for our fall and faults in sin before God and each other. But we ourselves are at fault and to blame, you and me and all mankind, with the exception of Jesus of Nazareth alone. Therefore, here is the truth, dear friends, no buts or ifs or doubts about it. Even as the Heidelberg Catechism so faithfully explains and maintains this for us in question and answer 6 and 7. We read there, after the Catechism has just asserted in question and answer 5, that you and I can't keep any of God's holy laws perfectly, in no wise, for I'm prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. But then this next question is, did God then create man so wickedly and perverse? Answer, by no means. But God created man good, and after His own image, in true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God his Creator, heartily love Him, and live with Him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise Him. Question and answer 7 immediately follows then, instructing us, whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature? Answer, from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. Hence our natures become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. What this stresses to us, dear friends, is that while it must be maintained and ever confessed by you and me, that God is not to blame at all for the ruin and miserable consequences of the fall, the only other conclusion to be reached is that our sin is totally our fault. This is our second point now, the second assertion and confession of faith. This sermon is exhorting. We all need to acknowledge personally, shall it be well with our soul? None of us can even blame the devil. The devil is the most wretched foe in that he is a sly and vicious and relentless tempter, always wanting us to sin. Yet God made Adam and Eve fully able to resist the devil too, if they had really wanted to do so. Even as fallen children of Adam and Eve, never can we blame a single sin on the devil. Sin is always a matter of letting ourselves be drawn away to evil from our own heart and will. So James also says in James 1 verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Again, how important to own up to this truth, as harsh and humbling as it may sound. This is nothing but the truth, the real gospel facts. No one of us can blame their own sins and sinfulness on anyone else or anything else but yourself and myself alone. So, for example, your friends did not make you go to that ungodly, racy movie. You allowed yourself to go there, against better knowledge even. It isn't your parents' poor example of hardly caring for church that makes you now quite indifferent about church, but it is repeatedly your own sinful unsubmissiveness to God and His Word. Oh, what does God's Word say in Jeremiah 17, verse 9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hear, too, what God says already in Genesis 6, in the first couple thousand years after the fall of Adam and Eve. We read God saying there in verse 5, these scathing and scorching words, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We as fallen sons and daughters of our first parents, even in all generations since then, are each and all sinful wrecks, and our wretched, sinful, wicked condition in life is each and all our own fault. There's no one of us who can stand before God on our own and say, it is not so. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it is our own fault, each one of us. Failure to confess this means not only discounting what God's Word teaches us from in its 66 books, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, but it means also denying what the faithful Christian church of all ages has always confessed. When in the 1500s and 1600s, the church was mercifully brought back by God, His providence, to the faithful teaching of the Holy Bible, the Reformation Christian churches then again confessed and taught in their confessions and catechisms the somber reality about our total depravity in sin. They taught then rightly not only that God is not at fault at all with our fall into sin, but it is totally our fault, your and my fault, each one of us. They taught also the third point now of this sermon, namely, that it is really terminally bad, our fall into sin, and your and my sinful and corrupt and perverted ways left to ourselves. Oh, the solemn reality is, according to God, as He teaches us in the Bible, our sin problem is not minor, but major, overwhelmingly and hopelessly so, left to ourselves. That is, to be clear, sin has affected and infected us, you and me, each and all, so deeply and devastatingly that there is not a single detail of your and my life and of your whole human being and mine that isn't stained and impacted and corrupted with the virus of our sins and sinfulness. From head to toe, skin to marrow, mind and heart, and our will and emotion, it is all spoiled with the corruption and rot of sin and evil-mindedness. That's what we mean by being totally depraved. None of us are only partly affected by the fall into sin, but each of us is completely stained and infiltrated with the guilt and evil and curse and bondage of the fall into sin. Of ourselves now, even our best works are as filthy rags before the perfectly righteous and infinitely holy God, as we read too in Isaiah 64, verse 6. God's Word states there, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. It is really terminally bad, our sin and guilt by nature, brought on ourselves by ourselves, so bad is it even, that our situation and condition is hopelessly irreparable and unfixable and forever unredeemable on our own. We read thus, for instance, in Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Yes, that is God's answer. Not one of us on our own can ever make right what we have done wrong. Not one of us can make straight what has been made crooked by us. Not all the money in the world, nor all the wisdom of the wise in this fallen world, and not all the resources of this universe could bring about a God-pleasing, just and good solution and resolution to the dilemma of our wretched sins and sinfulness of ourselves. It is utterly hopeless for any one of us to escape the righteous condemnation of God for all our sins and sinfulness and the everlasting punishment for sin in body and soul that you and I justly deserve and will certainly meet with on our own, left to ourselves. In Proverbs 20, verse 9, we read thus also this convicting, condemning question, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? And the implied answer is, no one. No wonder Jeremiah cried out then, as he did too in Lamentations 5, verse 16, the crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. I don't know if you ever were present when a doctor told a person the results of a thorough diagnosis and after all the tests and said, it is really terminally bad. I'm sorry. You have a disease that will cause your death, and it could be shortly, within months, or perhaps a little longer with surgery and chemo treatments, etc. But truth be told, it doesn't look good at all. Listen, dear friends, it is one thing to be told about this concerning our temporary physical life here on earth. But what about being so informed about your and my whole human being and existence in body and soul, for now and forever? The Bible wants us to face our sins and sinfulness most seriously and to be gripped and confronted how bad and sad it truly is with each one of us on our own. If the misery section 2 of the Heidelberg Catechism has you still thinking and believing, but there has to be some hope on our own, you just are not hearing then or refusing to listen to what is being said. You then are refusing to take seriously even the report of God's diagnosis of your and my spiritual condition on our own. Yes, admittedly, from one perspective, it is a lot of bad news to have to hear. But let me ask you this question. Would you rather have all the facts of your and my miserable condition of ourselves laid out on the table, rather than covering over the dismal truths about our terrible plight on our own? I'd far rather have a doctor who will be honest with me than one who hides the facts and, not wanting to hurt or discourage me at the time, just pulls the wool over my eyes, so to speak, and then still only to face the inescapable, painful reality of death in the end, even most shockingly, suddenly, and devastatingly so. Therefore also now, dear friends, we have to dig even still deeper about our sinful depravity and tell you yet more bad news. There is yet, on top of all that has been said so far, also our fourth point still. And please listen carefully here. Our situation and condition as fallen sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, with each of us conceived and born in sin, as David confesses in Psalm 51, our situation, yours and mine on our own, and that of our children and grandchildren too, is utterly hopeless, except you and I be born again. The Catechism teaches us in question and answer 8, yes, are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good, meaning any saving good, and inclined to all wickedness? Answer, indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. This is the bad and sad dilemma for any human being born since Adam's fall. Except, of course, for Jesus, again. And mentioning Jesus, remember now, it is Jesus who taught this most clearly and emphatically, especially also in John chapter 3, unless a person once born into this world is also born again, unless that happens, he or she will never be saved and never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said thus to religious Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God and cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do you ask perhaps now, how does having to be born again add still more to our human misery and desperate plight as totally depraved sinners of ourselves? Well, let me ask you then, in answer to your question, how is that even possible, that any one of us ever be born again? It is humanly impossible. and it is just never possible for any one of us to be born again on our own. So Nicodemus asked too, in bewilderment, how can these things be? On its own, the teaching of the necessity of the new birth only adds to our sin and misery left to ourselves. For any one of us to be born again, given a new heart and made a new creation, requires a miracle of supernatural power and wisdom greater than the creation of the whole universe at the beginning of time. A complete new creation of ourselves in this world, and certainly with ourselves, from ourselves, is just not going to happen, folks, on our own. That is the solemn reality with you and me, apart from God and His saving, almighty, gracious hand in our lives. Have you faced all this misery section, gospel teaching for real, in your own mind and heart? And confess then personally also, O Lord, I am in dire straits. My situation as a human being conceived and born in sin into this world is completely hopeless and helpless, and I have nothing of myself to plead upon. I come to you only with all my sin and guilt, so inexcusable and self-blamable always, and left to myself justly condemnable, deserving only eternal hell in body and soul, already now and hereafter, forever and ever. And my cry now is, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within. Thou alone, my Savior, art. Gracious God, yes, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from Thee, let Thy Spirit dwell in me. Isn't this where all this divine teaching of our sin and misery of ourselves is meant to lead us, dear friends? To whom else shall we go but to the Lord who, praise God, has not left this fallen, sinful world to itself? But even when Adam and Eve fell, yes, that very same day, God came to them in tender mercy and loving kindness, proclaiming and promising to them the one only way of escape, yet by His grace, through His Son, and by His Spirit. The gospel tidings still today is that the Almighty, merciful, triune God is yet out to regenerate hearts and to make us new creatures, born again, in and through Christ Jesus. The whole gospel message is God delights in mercy, and with Him there is perfect solution and everlasting salvation, rich and free for all who call upon the Lord in spirit and truth and trust and obey the only gospel of Jesus Christ. Even so, what did Jesus further say to Nicodemus when telling him the necessity of the new birth? Jesus proclaimed His saving work, even to the death of the cross. Such a miracle of new birth comes about in and through Christ, and by the gospel word, under the power of the Holy Spirit, even with the gospel of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, the spiritually hardest, and deadest, and coldest, meanest sinner might yet be saved, looking unto Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners, calling upon Him for His mercy. There is no misery of ours, however desperately miserable our sin and guilt, that the Messiah Savior can't and won't overcome for us. Yet who will genuinely trust and follow this Jesus, and turn from their sin and repent and believe in Christ alone, except you take to heart also all the biblical teaching about our sin and misery left to ourselves? It is so good, therefore, for us to have a message now about this. And just to prove that, let me say something still about our fifth and last point with digging deeper regarding our sinful depravity of ourselves. I mean the point now about how is this precious practical gospel teaching, really, this gospel message you are hearing? You could ask it this way. How can this negative sounding sermon about our rotten and hopeless misery in sin of ourselves be of any positive good, really? Let me tell you how. When by the Holy Spirit You and I are once and repeatedly gripped with this teaching about how great our sins and miseries are. There is nothing like it that will have us truly repent of sin and really trust and follow Jesus alone as only Savior and Lord. Yes, with this faithful teaching and preaching too, when blessed of God, you and I will always be kept from foolish pride about ourselves and instead learn true humility of heart before God and our neighbor. Think too how nothing can so motivate and stir us in true love to Jesus as one and only Savior of sinners and ever glorying in Him alone as given by God the Father and made known to us by God's Spirit and Word. Nothing so leads us as seeing by God's Spirit and Word the impossible hell hole and eternal pit of misery Christ came to save us from. If you refuse heartily to say amen to the whole of this sermon, doesn't it suggest you are not yet truly saved from your sins, indeed not yet born again of God? Oh, seek the Lord for His regenerating grace and saving help before it is forever too late. On the other hand, if you by God's grace wholeheartedly agree with all that has been said also in this message, won't that be evident in you showing now most humble and hearty thanks by God's grace for so gracious and hopeful gospel tidings in an otherwise totally hopeless and grim situation left to ourselves? Nothing advances the gospel cause in and through our lives practically like you and me, by God's grace and Spirit, really being gripped heartily and increasingly even about how great our sins and miseries are on our own, and yet regardless, and most wonderfully, how Jesus Christ is mighty to save, indeed even the chief of sinners, who calls upon Him. Then digging deeper about our sins and sinfulness, you learn is actually such positive gospel truth as God's means, truly, for you and me, really, heartily, to trust and follow Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord. And that is the way of true comfort, for now and forever. Yes, belonging to Christ, to Him alone. Oh, pray, God, you can't rest till you too belong to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.